On this dawn of 2015, many individual investors remain twice burned, thrice shy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Happy New Year. Investors who purchase the kind of fund that tracks a big stock index are just coming off a strong year. If that index had been the S&P 500, the return would have been about 13.7%, even though that S&P fell 1% on New Year's Eve. The Dow was up about 11% for the year. An indexed fund that shadowed the NASDAQ Composite Index rose 14.8% for the year just ended. It was year six for this bull run, yet many individual investors chose not to be part of it, with memories still too fresh of the dot-com bubble popping and financial collapse of 2008. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has our report.
Every year, Bankrate.com takes the pulse of average Americans with a survey, the Financial Security Index. And every year since the financial crisis, people have said they're staying away from stocks, even as the markets rose.
Risk aversion among individual investors still remains very, very high.
That's Greg McBride, Bankrate.com's chief financial analyst. 73% of the people interviewed for the 2014 survey said they were not more inclined to invest in stocks. McBride says usually at this point in a financial recovery, small investors do flock back to the markets, but not this time.
They bought in right before the market peak in 2000. They sold out at the bottom, got back in, and then got burned again. And a lot of those individual investors simply have never come back to the equity markets.
There can be consequences for investors who stay out of stocks because historically the markets have been your best investment for retirement. Stuart Ritter is a senior financial planner with T. Rowe Price. He says if you skip stocks,
you've got two choices. One, you need to save more to make up for the earnings you're not getting, or two, you need to recognize you're going to have a smaller balance and a lower lifestyle in retirement.
Ritter says over every 15-year period since 1926, the S&P 500 has gone up. He says your best strategy is to ride out the short-term ups and downs and invest for the long term. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
So last night, were you waving the Lithuanian flag or the blue one with the symbol of the euro? How could you have forgotten that Lithuanians, as of today, are using the euro for their money? The BBC's Vishala Sripathma is just back from Lithuania and joins us now from London. Good morning.
Morning.
Now, you've been reporting from Lithuania, and you've been speaking to Lithuanians about this adoption of the euro. What have you been hearing?
It's a mixed bag, really. People in the capital seem to be quite upbeat about adopting the euro currency, and they kind of see it as a last stamp of approval from the European Union. There are some worries that prices will rise once they adopt the euro. So I was asking lots of people in the main shopping district how they felt about losing their national currency. This is what they had to say.
We're not losing our independence or something. I mean, it would be just easier for everyone who's traveling abroad, who's maybe doing business. It doesn't bother me.
Generally, I feel people are a little bit afraid. They think that the prices will rise up, but I personally don't. I think it's good.
Problem is, of course, if things go wrong, they no longer can ask their central bank to print local currency to tide them over. That's what happens when you join the common currency.
And it's something that economists acknowledge. And one person I spoke to said, actually, they are quite worried about how the eurozone is going to look in, say, 4 or 5 years' time. A lot of it rests on the laurels of Brussels, and that does make people feel quite nervous about it, particularly as the economic makeup of the Baltics is very different to that of Western Europe. So that adoption process is going to take a while.
When Ukraine wanted to move closer to Europe, Russia took umbrage. How do you think this move into the bosom of the eurozone might affect Lithuania's ties with Russia?
It's already had a pretty negative impact, particularly because Russia has banned EU imports into the country. And a lot of industries in Lithuania sell solely, exclusively to Russia. So they're hit quite badly. Movements in Ukraine, they've been watching very closely, but they're not as fearful as people may think about Russia entering their borders because they're part of the EU, they're part of NATO, so they've got that security blanket.
The BBC's Vishala Sripathma is just back from the country that is now the 19th country to partake in the euro. Vishala, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Battelle. Battelle's airport bottle scanner can detect threats in seconds. Learn more at battelle.org. Marketplace's coverage of wealth and poverty issues is supported by the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. More at fordfoundation.org.
Now over to Annie Baxter, a reporter on the Marketplace Schadenfreude desk, with news the Internal Revenue Service is expecting what they see as a miserable year. Big funding and staffing cuts, new mandates, and the last-minute extension of several dozen tax breaks are making things complicated for the IRS.
There was a concern the 2015 tax filing season might start late. Not so. It'll begin January 20th. That's the good news at the IRS. It all kind of goes south from there.
We're very concerned that we may only be able to answer about 50% of the calls that come in.
That's Anthony Burke, an IRS spokesman. He says funding cuts have forced the agency to shed about 13,000 workers since 2010, and reductions will continue this year when the agency absorbs a budget cut of $346 million. That means fewer people manning the phones on tax day and fewer agents auditing possible tax cheaters.
They're going to be handling more issues with fewer resources.
That's Kelly Phillips Erb, a tax attorney. She says one of those big issues is the Affordable Care Act's individual health insurance mandate.
Those folks who are subject to the health care credits, they're going to have to figure, did I get enough credit? Do I have to pay something back?
The IRS says one way to avoid confusion is to file electronically, as the software can help you figure all that out. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And there's new data showing that 2014 was not the year of buying music for download online. Nielsen SoundScan reports that album downloads were down 9%, songs down 12%. People are instead subscribing to streaming services like Spotify or listening using YouTube, which is part of Google. Sales of vinyl, those plastic spinny things that contain analog renderings of music, were the highest since this survey began 23 years ago. The crooner from Times Square in New York last night, Taylor Swift, had the top album of 2014. I'm not going to play it here. Too early. My head hurts. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.